The Bible tells of many godly men and women that are worthy of our emulation. One that we think of quite prominently is Joseph, who was sold into slavery, Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 through 4. When Joseph was brought to Egypt after being sold by his brothers, Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. The text goes on to say the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of all, over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Then as you look on further in verses 21, in Genesis 39, verses 21 to 23, we find Joseph in a different situation. He's now been thrown in prison. But the text said the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here was a young man who was sold by his brothers into slavery. As a result of false accusation, he was later put in prison. But through all of this, the Lord was with him, and Joseph prospered. All that he did prospered. And eventually became second ruler over all of Egypt as a result of his faith and his trust in God. So Joseph is a very good example for young people to emulate, and so is Daniel. Daniel obtained preeminence and power in his lifetime. He started out preeminent in Israel. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now notice who he's picking from. From all the children of Israel, the king's seed, and of the princes. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So as we would say today, they were looking around and finding, as we would say, the cream of the crop. Daniel was in that category. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know those last three better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Daniel started out preeminent among the Israelites. A young man, but very choice young man. Then he gained preeminence in Babylon. As you continue reading in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 17 through 20, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. 10 times better than any of the others who would stand before the king. Then he was given power over all Babylon. In Daniel chapter 2, there in verse 48 and 49, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. In chapter 5, at verse 29, they commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Here is a man who has been given a preeminent place. Power over all Babel. Even power over the Medo-Persian Empire as it came into existence. In chapter 6 of Daniel, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three princes, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. In verse 28 of that same chapter. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, all the way through the Babylonian Empire, and in the Medo-Persian Empire, Daniel prospered. The question arises, how did Daniel reach positions of power and influence without compromising his position as a godly man? Now, that's a question that each of us have to wrestle with almost every day of our lives. So a close look at Daniel reveals his secret. It shows us how we too can be successful without selling our souls. So think about this idea. How to enjoy success without compromise. We battle with that principle on a regular basis. How do we become successful in life without compromising our convictions? And so a study of Daniel, I believe, will reveal how this can come about. Obviously, we don't have time in one lesson to deal with all the things involved in the story of Daniel, but I want to deal with just a few. I want to begin by suggesting to you that Daniel was a man of purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart. That is, his feelings, his will, his intellect. At the beginning of his life there in Babylon, he was presented with a test. The king's food. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes of the eunuchs. Now here's a young boy, probably just a teenager, in a strange land, carried by force to this land, faced with a challenge to violate God's law by eating the king's food, which would probably include meat that the scripture forbade him to eat. And so he purposed in his heart that he would not, despite his youth and pressure to conform. This eunuch that was responsible for them wanted to know what's going to happen when you don't appear as healthy and as well favored as the others. And Daniel said, you put us to the test. Just give us basically what we would call bread and water. And if we don't fare better at the end of a set number of days, then we'll eat the king's food. And of course, as you read the story, you find that Daniel fared better than any of the others. So he purposed in his heart to uphold the law of God no matter the cost. He put God first. And as a result, God granted him favor in the sight of others, as we read there in verse 9. I suggest to you that Christians must purpose in their heart This word is used in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, in regard to our giving. Every man according as he purposes in heart, so let him give, not grudging of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, obviously, we're not talking about giving, but the word purpose. The word purpose means to determine beforehand. We decide ahead of time. That's what Daniel did. He decided ahead of time that he wasn't going to do anything that would violate God's will. We understand there is no respect for individuals who have no direction in their life. There must be a strong sense of purpose. And when there is a strong sense of purpose, that brings about respect and admiration. The purpose of Christians is to cleave to the Lord. In Acts chapter 11, the word is used in regard to this idea. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. The word cleave here involves the idea of sticking together. Stick just like super glue. Cleave to the Lord. How do they do that? With purpose of heart. That involves putting God first and foremost. As we note in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So there's the idea of purposing. This guarantees God's favor and will likely gain us favor in the eyes of those around us. We can be like Daniel. We can have purpose. And this begins when we are young. It is never, ever too early to put God's kingdom first. And that's what Daniel did. A man of purpose. He decided in his heart he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. He ate basically bread and water to avoid defiling himself. You'll notice also that Daniel was a man of principle. He refused to compromise his conviction. We noted earlier that he refused to eat the king's meat or drink his wine there in verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1. As an old man, he refused the gifts of Belshazzar, Daniel chapter 5, there verse 13 beginning. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. You remember the story how a hand appeared on the wall and wrote on the wall. Daniel now answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing of the king and make known to him the interpretation. Keep your gifts. I don't want them. I will interpret what was written on the wall. And you remember the story. When he interpreted this, he said, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. The kingdom is going to be taken from him and given to the Medes and Persians. And it happened, just as Daniel said. And so this was later in his life as an old man. Now under threat of persecution, he refused to obey the decree of Darius or Darius. They tried to form a plot to trap Daniel so that he would lose favor with the king. And so they said, we want a decree written so that anyone who bows down or makes a prayer to anyone other than you will be thrown in a den of lions. Listen to Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and in his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't let the king's decree faze him one bit. He continued to pray unto God, just like he always had, even though he's faced with a den of lions. God today wants people of principle. In Psalm chapter 15, verse 1, the scripture says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. There are some qualities mentioned in this passage that all of us need to emulate. Watch our tongue. Do good to our neighbor. Understand that there are vile people. But honor the Lord and those who honor the Lord. Even if it costs us, we tell the truth. Don't be engaged in trying to obtain exorbitant interest, taking reward against the innocent. What this is talking about is a person of principle. Outwardly, we might be ridiculed, but inwardly, people wish they were like we are, that they had the same intestinal fortitude that we do. We understand that we need to trust, when we need to trust and depend on someone to carry out an assigned task, we turn to the individual who has principle, whom we can depend upon. Our society is in great need of people with principle. Those who demonstrate by their example the value of being led by principle rather than by price. These people are not only highly valued by God, but also by their own fellow men. We understand the value of people with principle who do what they say, who mean what they say, who do what's right regardless of the cost. That's Daniel. Daniel was also a man of purity. His opponents could find no fault with him. He was faultless in managing business affairs. In chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, he pleaded Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. In managing all the affairs of the kingdom, they could find absolutely no fault in Daniel. This explains his rise to positions of responsibility and power. His purity in business related to his overall purpose, to please God first. And that shows he could be trusted. We as Christians must maintain purity of conduct. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We purify ourselves. We have this hope within us. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in spirit, in purity. Be an example. Timothy was a young man. Titus chapter 2, there at verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Again, Titus was a young man, beginning to preach the gospel of Christ. It doesn't matter your status in life. Doesn't matter whether you're a slave or free. Titus chapter 2, there, verses 9 and 10, he said, exhort servants who will be to their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again, not purloining, the King James Version says. Purloining has to do with petty theft. But showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. He's talking about slaves. We don't have slaves today, in the sense he's talking about here. But we are servants. We're servants of one another as Christians. But we're servants in our employment. We serve our employer. As such, we need to be faithful in our conduct. We need to be pure, free from anything that would condemn us. People who maintain purity and dealings with others are often the ones given positions of responsibility and privilege because they can be trusted to use their positions of responsibility and power wisely. Now, I understand that there are exceptions to that. The people sometimes are put in positions of responsibility and power who are not pure, who cannot be trusted. But for the most part, those kinds of people don't last long in those positions. Employers are looking for individuals who can be trusted, who are pure in their conduct. Daniel was such a man. Finally, Daniel was a man of prayer. We might just take some glimpses of his, what we sometimes call, prayer life. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, remember when the right of the king was signed that anyone could not make a petition of anyone except him for a certain length of time. When Daniel knew that this writing was signed, this is the king's decree. Anybody who violates this decree is thrown into a den of lions. When he knew the writing was signed, he went in his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. He gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. I might ask you a question. Do you have a set time every day to pray? Daniel did this 3 times a day. I don't know what time of the day it was. But this was a right, regular practice that he engaged in. 3 times a day, he prayed. When he was challenged, he didn't say, well, the king said I shouldn't do this, so I'm not going to do it. He continued to pray just like he always had. In this glimpse of his life, in regard to prayer, we see him kneeling as he prayed. This is an indication of his humility. The fact that he did this 3 times a day shows his dependence on God regularly. He indicated his dependence upon God because he defied the king's decree. He gave thanks in the midst of persecution. It shows his gratitude, the fact that he had not lost sight of God's blessing. Prayer was his custom since early days. Even as a young man, he prayed. This shows his persistence and faithfulness in his service to God. I like this idea of his custom to pray so diligently helped him remain a man of purpose, a man of principle, a man of purity. Despite his rise to power and preeminence over the entire empire, don't you think that we as Christians would do well to follow the example that Daniel set? Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 and 18, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer. and watch in the same with thanksgiving. If efforts to live purposeful, principled, and pure lives are not what they should be, could it be an undisciplined prayer life that causes us to not be this kind of person? So the question, will we dare to be a Daniel? Will we engage in prayer to God on a regular basis? Will we be a person of purity, a person of principle, a person with purpose of heart and mind, determined to do God's will above all else? There is a false assumption that to get ahead in the world, that one must conform to the sinful practices of the world. This is an assumption that leads many to engage in all kinds of ungodly practices in their efforts to get ahead in the world. Because they have this idea that in order to do that, I have to do whatever I have to do in order to get ahead. If I have to climb over everybody's back to get there, then so be it. That's the attitude of so many in our society today. But even today, many Christians demonstrate that when one dares to be a Daniel, they can succeed in the affairs of men without selling their souls to the world. It's been shown over and over again by various individuals in the business world that even though they maintain their integrity, they can succeed. So let's be like Daniel. By becoming a person of purpose, one who has principles, determined to do what's right, a person of purity, we refrain from all kinds of evil. We purify ourselves on a regular basis by applying the blood of Christ to our lives. And we pray to God always. When we have these kind of attributes working in our lives, then yes, indeed, we can succeed in life without compromising our convictions. It can be done. We don't always become a huge success in business if we hold fast to our principles of truth and right. But we can still please God. You remember the Apostle Paul was pleasing God in a Roman prison. Been beaten. There in a dark, damp dungeon. But they were praying and singing praises to God. He was released. He was stoned and left for dead. But he was able to get up and go on with his work. Many, many examples in Scripture show us that sometimes we may not attain these levels of preeminence in the civil realm that Daniel did. But he shows us that it can be done and still maintain our integrity. So whatever road we choose in life, let's recognize that we do not have to conform ourselves to the world. In fact, Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed, but be transformed. As a transformed individual, such as Daniel was, we can be successful in life without compromising our convictions and spiritual matters. It might be that there are those in the audience tonight who recognize that at some point in time they have indeed compromised their convictions. That you, as a result of compromising your convictions, you have been involved in sin, sinful practices. If that be the case, you can get rid of those sins. As a child of God, you can turn from your sins, confess them, and ask God to forgive you. He's promised that he will. If you're not a child of God, you realize that You need to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. You can do that tonight. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord then will add you to His church. You'll be a part of His family. Whatever your desire may be, we stand ready and willing to help you in your search for truth and right, wanting to be pleasing to God. Song that's been selected. Is thy heart right with God? We each one need to examine ourselves and see if our heart is right with God. If not, whatever your need may be, you can respond to the Lord's invitation by coming to the front as we stand and sing the song that's been selected for your encouragement.